I've got some thoughts on some of the Lions cut, including Hendon Hooker. We'll get to that. We have feedback on the roller coaster conversation. Jeff, before I get to these texts, you have selected a couple that stand out to you.
Yes, like this one. Jeff, what's wrong with you? Some parents may be petrified of heights. Now, that being said, I'm terrified of heights myself. But if my kids get on, I'm getting on. Dad's got to be the hero, not the villain. Jay in Waterford. See, that's all I'm talking about.
But Dad's not the villain if he takes the kid to an amusement park and watches the kid ride the rides.
I have one more for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says, why not just allow your kids to sit on the couch and watch phones if you're not going to take them anywhere and be a part of their lives?
Hold on.
I would agree.
You could take them there and not ride the roller coaster and be a good parent.
Why are you going?
To reward your kid, because it doesn't have to be about you. It's about your kid.
By the way, I think your kid loses all respect for you.
You think your nine-year-old is like, oh.
If my nine-year-old says, Daddy, go on the Top Thrill Dragster 2 with me, and I said no, I would feel guilty and awful for the rest of my life. I have thousands of bad takes in the sports radio, and I don't feel that bad about it. But if Olive asked me to go on a roller coaster and I said no, I would never live that down, I feel.
Some ticket text.
Yes.
110% have to go on the rides. These are fun memories that you would treasure forever while you're hanging out with your kids.
Of course.
Says, Jesus, Jeff, no, these are not bad parents. You continue to prove you're a terrible human being. Why don't you go harass more employees at Chipotle?
I don't
harass
them. Is that
something you do?
No.
An extra scoop of chicken. I said extra.
I get extra rice, too.
Oh, okay.
No. I pay for the extra chicken if I'm going to get it.
Do you do the thing where once they've already started to scoop the one, then you call for a second one?
No. Okay. Dude, I'm a great patron. How dare you? What's the matter? I'm not this monster that people make me out to be, I don't think.
Tech says, I understand where Rieger's coming from, but I can't do roller coasters. I get motion sickness. Generally speaking, I try to participate with my kids, but I can't do carnival rides or coasters. Am I a bad parent?
Isn't that something to take medicine for?
You can, the Dramamine?
There you go.
Yeah. Jeff just keeps upping his awful takes games. Kudos. You really got to give it to him. Let's get to Joe in Madison
Heights.
How is this
awful take?
Joe, what's up? Because you said it.
Fair. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
What's up?
Yeah, I'm 65 years old, and I belong to a roller coaster club called American Coaster Enthusiasts. And the first thing you want to do, you're not a bad parent if you let them ride alone. What you want to do in the front of the park, they get measured out. Every coaster has a requirement as far as safety. So they'll put the wristband on you. I think it's 48 and then up to 52 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. It puts everybody at ease, including the kid. It's not dangerous at all. But the coasters I would not go on, you're going to scare the kids to death. The Magnum is one of the worst. Us coaster geeks, I went on what you call the magic seats, the most airtime in the park, but it's like a train wreck. Do not put them on the Magnum.
Don't put the kids on the Magnum. The Magnum's amazing, Joe.
But
with
it's
that.
So rough. Like,
I know,
it's really
but
rickety.
It's that awesome climb up.
Not in three, it isn't. In what? The magic seat, row three, it was like a train wreck. But Magnum is great. But
the ones I would put them on
is like Millennium Force. Seat two, it's real smooth there.
Seat
no problem.
Two.
Sirens
How about the level of detail
seat.
Here?
Yeah.
You really are. What did you say? Coaster? What?
Well, he's telling us the magic seats.
Yeah.
The magic seat. Yeah.
How do you find those out before you go? Can you Google those?
Oh, you know, just talking to the coaster geeks. We like airtime. Okay. We like being off our seat more than on it. So
see that my friends, that's a risk taker. That's like somebody on the old blue streak when you loosen the seatbelt and you put it very loose and
so
then you can fly out of the seat as you're going over the hill. It's good stuff.
Steve in Belleville, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. First time, long time.
Awesome. Good morning.
My son was 7 when we went on to Millennium Force. And on the first drop down, he passed out. By the time we got serious, when we got through the tunnels on like that, after that first turn, I was trying to wake him up, and he did wake up, and he just went back to screaming. And
as a
parent, I would not have wanted anybody else to be sitting next to him except me, because it was like really scary there for a second.
For sure.
Yeah, of course. I get that.
but that did not stop him. We went back on it shortly after that day. And going down the first hill, I see him holding his breath. And I'm like, dude, you got to breathe. Breathe, breathe. So he starts breathing going down the first hill, and he made it the whole way around.
So that is a cool story. That is a point for you, Jeff. Exactly. That is an active father helping his young child.
See? And that poor kid, if he went on without his father.
All alone, passed out, traumatized.
Yeah, you know what's really fun?
I don't think you send him with a stranger. If they're going alone, they're going with like
friend?
Cousins, friends. Yeah, they're not going to go on a roller coaster sitting next to a stranger.
Like when Olive gets a little older and she will go on the bigger rides, I'm going to do the old bolt trick on her. You know, you carry the bolt in your pocket and you say this came from your seat on the way up. Freaks him out a little. No,
don't
maybe not. Maybe that's a little
the
too far.
The old bolt trick. You know that one, right?
I've seen the old bolt trick.
God.
What's he talking about?
Uh-oh. Tech says, I'm with Gov. F going on uncomfortable rides at this age. Says, better to take the kids to Cedar Point and let them ride than not take them at all.
I guess.
Don't take your kids to Cedar Point if you're not going to go on rides with them. Rieger's right. Horrible parents.
There you go. Scumbags, I believe I said.
Says, scumbag is harsh, but yes, Jeff's right. Jim, I'm 33. I went to Cedar Point with 15 30-year-old friends, wives, and girlfriends over the summer.
There you go. There's Jim. Too good for Cedar Point, America's roller coaster.
I don't know if it's that I'm also hopped up on a whole bunch of cold medicine today, too. It just does not sound fun being on a roller coaster this morning.
The roller coasters are
great. I'm all like, whoa.
Okay. So. You know what I would love out of this conversation? You just said the little Cedar Point tagline. It's for you to be the announcer for a ride.
Oh, I could do that. Like, we're going to take you up.
We could probably make that happen like for a day.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Through our media stuff. Where
Let's
we
do
reach
it
out
now when the kids in Ohio are back in school so the lines aren't long so we could ride the rides nonstop.
Your voice is perfect for Halloween weekends.
Yeah, I know.
Scare people.
Exactly. We're going to take you up 3,000 feet and drop you. Please keep your arms and hands inside the coaster at all time. Thank you for riding at Cedar Point, America's roller coaster. All clear.
Boop. Oh, a bolt! Wait,
okay,
your bolt trick.
By the way, if you're going up that hill and it goes clickety click, don't look down because a bolt might have come loose.
Just imagine like different people at work here doing that. Like Valeni, this sucks.
Valeni would be like, "Get on the damn ride already!"
Seriously, you've been waiting in line for an hour. What are we doing?
My God, you people! What are you scared? That kid's crying. Get him out of here.
Let's get to Larry and Howell. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What's up?
Good. Hey, I'm 68 years old. I've had a couple heart attacks, and I still go on every single ride, whether it's Cedar Point, Disney, Universal. I go on every one of them with my kids, my grandkids, because I can remember growing up as a child and my parents taking me and having to go on those things alone with some stranger and everything else, and it kind of sucked. So, you know, if that's what they want and it makes them happy, it makes me happy when it's all over with. Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's thrilling. Sometimes you even sit back and go, I'm not doing that again, and then you jump on
that's
the
right.
next one, and you have a great time.
You know what, Larry? You're making Jim feel bad about himself. Jim, at age 30, will not go on the rides, yet Larry has had a couple of heart issues, and he's down for it.
I didn't say I wouldn't. I said I don't want to. There's a difference.
I think we should all do a show from one of the roller coasters. Live from the Millennium Force, it's Costin Jansen.
Now, this last ticket text I've circled, and I don't know if it's in reference to any one particular thing you've said today or if it's just a sentiment that people have, but if you'd like to, I know you're good about reading things people say about you. What does that one say?
Who let Jeff reproduce? Dot, dot, dot. What a mistake. This is poor grammar. There's no question mark or anything. It's probably an abundance of evidence that I've supplied them with over the course of the show. Yeah.
Right. Or the course of... time.
Could you call this a career, what I do?
Yeah, I would say, Jeff, you've carved out a nice career for yourself. I really would. I'm not saying that with any smarm. You don't have to push the alarm button, Greg.
The nicest thing you've ever said.
I try to give you one compliment when you fill in.
A career's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not over yet. We got at least another 45 minutes today, and you're probably going to be on, tonight, tomorrow? They work you to death, right? You were on last night.
Tomorrow, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Coming up next, some thoughts on the Lions' cuts. Hendon Hooker among them. We've got him next, 97.1. All right, Brightside Dental. Get a brighter smile without breaking the bank. Brightside Dental is your spot. 9 Metro Detroit locations, so there's one right around the corner from you. And if you haven't been to the dentist for your regular 6-month cleanings, it's not a problem. They're not going to judge you, give you a hard time, or lecture you about your flossing habits. They want to help you out. $35 new patient special that covers exams and x-rays, and there's no hidden fees. Nobody wants that. Make an appointment. Get back in that routine. BrightsideDental.com. 1-800-PAINLESS is the phone number. Tell them Jim Costa and the Morning Show sent you. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Langoliers getting his moment. It was set up from a play earlier in the game.
That was a soap opera.
Yeah, because early in the game, what, the third inning, Rieger?
Third inning.
Langoliers is at the plate, and Scooble's upset with a call. Feels like he got squeezed.
Yeah, on the batter before.
Oh, okay.
And AJ had to rush out there to calm Scooble down so he didn't get tossed from the game.
Scooble's amped. The ump lets him stay in. Langoliers hits a ball. Foul.
Yes.
They sound off all the lights thinking it's a home run. Scooble's irritated. Gets the punch out on Langoliers and then kind of gestures about the lights.
Yeah, he's like, sound the lights. And then Gleyber Torres goes yard for the Tigers. And Tigers on social media say, turn the lights on. Kind of like trolling the A's.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Langoliers hits the grand slam that wins the game. Do we have a Scooble problem? Can I ask you this?
I'm
going to
say no, but okay. Go ahead.
So it's interesting. It's not a problem. Like yesterday, for instance, he gave up 6 runs, but only one was
earned. One earned somehow? Weird.
Yes, because of 2 Zach McKinstry errors, okay?
Yeah, but if you give up 2 home, anyway.
His last 9 games, Tarik Skubal, he's got a 2.5 ERA.
That's very good.
Great. He's given up 7 home runs in 9 games.
Not great.
Not great. 74 strikeouts.
Lot of strikeouts.
Only 11 walks.
He never walks anybody.
Yes.
He's a great pitcher. What's the point?
But he's only 1-2. Is that bizarre?
Well, they've won more than one of the games. They have credited with one of the wins.
Yes, they've won. Let's see. In those 9 games, they've won 6. They've lost 3.
Okay, so they're 6-3 in the Scooble starts. I don't care what his pitcher win-loss record is. I know you put this bug out there, too. You put it in my ear. I'm watching it now. Crochet is fighting him for the Cy Young.
It's close.
It's like, odds-wise, very close. And they could face off in the final series of the year with the Cy Young on the line, Boston and Detroit at the end of September.
Everybody is just assuming that Scooble's going to get it.
And I think he will.
It's very close.
To answer your question, no, there's not a Scooble problem. He's a damn good pitcher.
Okay. Scooble 5-8 war, Crochet 5-2, both 26 games, both started 26 games, both pretty much the same innings pitched. Scooble's got a 2.28 ERA. He gave up 6 runs yesterday, but his ERA goes down because he only gave up one earned run.
Yeah,
Crochet is 10 points higher.
Okay.
Like, they're so even, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he might not get the Triple Crown, and the betting market suggests it's very close for the Cy Young. Tigers lost last night. Royals lost last night. So it's still 10.5 in the division. And I only bring it up, like, Jeff, you said to me earlier, you're not still checking the standings every day, are you? The only reason I am is because I know it's going to happen. These, like, hyenas on the ticket text. See, it's under 10. You jinxed him yesterday. See. Guys, there's no jinx. There's no curse. They're winning this division. The sooner you accept it, the sooner we can move on and talk about the postseason push, setting a rotation, fighting for a first round bye, and all the good stuff. But what if the Royals take 3? What if the Guardians take 6? The Guardians are a million games out. It's over.
Yeah, the Guardians really hard. They've fallen on hard times since that, like, what are they, 21-29? And then they couldn't win a game to save their life. Blown out yesterday.
I'm shocked they didn't play .700 baseball for 2 months.
I know,
crazy,
right?
Shocked.
Especially when you lost your best closer and another starter and you have no offense.
Other than that, how was the play, Miss Lincoln?
Exactly.
Okay, speaking of surprises, not a surprise, Hendon Hooker, cut. It was foretold, really going back to the end of last year. When they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, it told you everything they thought of Hendon Hooker. And then, with his job on the line, he had no notable moments in the preseason. He looked like he was getting worse. And they cut him. This is a pick Brad Holmes made, 68th overall. It's arguably the biggest mistake Brad Holmes has made as the general manager. But it's not one that I'm going to beat him up for. I think there's a whole lot of revisionist history going on. The pick made sense at the time. You didn't have to like it. The pick made sense at the time. They had not paid Jared Goff. He had not appeared in a postseason game in a Lions uniform. He had not won a couple playoff games in a Lions uniform. See, things changed the very next year when he anchored the team to a division title and back-to-back home playoff wins. But that's not the world we lived in the night they drafted Hendon Hooker. They were hedging their bets. They hadn't extended him. It made sense. It was a player who had some upside, some mobility, quick release. If you could ever learn to read a defense, maybe you found Jalen Hurts. Right? That's what you're hoping when you take a day two quarterback. You have Carson Wentz. What if it doesn't work? We have Jalen Hurts. It didn't work. Not all gambles are going to work. There's a lot of hindsight, revisionist history. That pick made sense. It didn't work. You cut bait and you move on, which is what they've done.
Well, the crazy thing is the people that think it's a blemish on Brad Holmes' resume, it's not. And if you think it's his worst move, then okay, no big deal. It's very nitpicky. It really is. A guy that gave you Penei Sewell and Alim McNeil in the third round and Kirby Joseph in the third round and Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round, the list goes on and on. You have a litany of players, six of them, that you want and would love to extend. Holmes has done a great job. So if you're mad at him because Hooker in the third round, well, then be mad at him because Broderick Martin in the third round.
He blew two top 100 picks, okay?
Okay, so how many did he get right, though?
Do you know Howie Roseman took Jalen Reagor in the first round instead of Justin Jefferson?
Always go with the Reagors, yeah.
And I think Howie Roseman's a better GM than Brad Holmes.
Absolutely.
Like, if Brad Holmes had nuked a first-round pick on Hendon Hooker, okay.
Yeah, now we're talking. Now we're talking. Exactly. He waited to the third round. It was a position of need. And by the way, if he never got a backup quarterback, if he never drafted a quarterback at the time you mentioned it, we weren't sure about Goff, even though now everybody thinks we were.
Of course.
But if he never got a QB to begin with and Goff didn't work out, then you're yelling at him because he never took a swing for a quarterback anyway.
Why didn't you try? See what you could get.
And
it hasn't really haunted them at all because, again, they brought in Bridgewater last year as insurance and they have Kyle Allen this year.
How'd you phrase it earlier when we talked about it? Is this a blemish on his record?
I said, are you holding it against him?
Yeah, see, that's crazy.
And some people are.
I guess it's the nature of the job.
He has very few of these. And then I did ask, is it his biggest mistake? To which I don't really know what else is. He's made very few of them. They have no bad contracts on the books right now. He doesn't have any first-round picks that are busts. I suppose second round, you could say Levi Onwuzurike is his worst use of draft capital.
Or not taking Jalen Carter and instead taking Jahmyr Gibbs,
LaPorta, which is at least a
100%.
Push.
No, listen, I agree.
It may be a move he hasn't made could be the worst move that he's made.
Well, maybe he's to blame for being such a good GM that he hits on so many picks that you expect him to hit on every pick.
Right.
At the time, it made sense. I remember being on the radio. It was on a Friday, second day of the draft, and I was giddy. I'm like, okay, listen, I don't know if the kid's going to work out, and let's not forget he was coming off the injury, but you needed a quarterback. He was electric at Tennessee. Everybody's in love with the concept of a mobile quarterback, which he is, and it didn't work out.
No.
Oh, well. And by the way, I think why people soured on it so bad is because he's so bad. Like, that's the thing. Hendon Hooker has been dreadful.
He has been. People would have clutched to any glimmer if he had given it in the preseason. Like, people were waiting for one big drive or two big throws or a moment. He had none. He played in every game. They played an extra preseason game.
I think the death blow was the last game against the Texans late in the game where the Lions get a pick and they maybe have a chance to score in a preseason game. And the first pass, Hooker just sails a ball for a pick.
See ya.
And at that point, I'm like, ooh, that's it.
Goodbye.
His soul just left his body. Yeah. That's it. He's done. So he'll clear waivers. You can put him on the practice squad, I guess, if you want
him. But Campbell talked about maybe a change of scenery is good for him.
Yeah. Or don't.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
This news is brought to you by Foreman Mills. You guys, there's a couple who are under investigation after attempting to join the Mile High Club on a recent Delta flight from Minneapolis to Hawaii.
What do you mean attempted?
Well, we don't know for sure exactly what was going on underneath this blanket. They were trying to
Even go in the bathroom.
No, right there in their seat.
Go on.
Scandalous.
So apparently all the other passengers sitting around them were appalled by what was going on. And one passenger got some video because she wanted to make sure she could show flight attendants or whoever she needed to speak to what was happening.
Oh, that's why she got the video. That's why she got the video.
So it sounds like once the plane landed, the couple was actually met by FBI and police. No arrests apparently have been made, but everything is under investigation. It's got to be reviewed by whoever it's got to be reviewed by.
I'm just curious. What would constitute being in the Mile High Club? Like, how far did they have to go for them to get in trouble?
Greg's saying something back there. They were engaging in sexual acts.
Okay.
But not in sex itself.
Is it?
Does that count? Do you even get credit for being in the Mile High Club?
Right.
Mile High Club at that point?
Did they stamp your card?
I don't think so. You're just putting yourself in a bad spot because I'm not sure that it would count, and you're putting yourself in trouble with the FBI.
Why are you doing this?
I don't know. Really,
people wait till you get to your hotel room. What are you
people
doing?
Like the thrill.
If you've ever wanted to be in trouble by the FBI,
there was a third person, it looked like, sitting in that row.
Yeah, that's a
you
really,
guys, like they were.
Oh, we talked about the worst people you could sit next to flying.
Yes.
Those two.
This is it. Come on now.
So who at the ticket is a member of the Mile High Club?
He's done this all day today. Inserting in. Who are the ticket?
Who do you think? Name a name.
Have you done a Mile High swap?
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
No, Tom.
The look on your face.
Nobody wants to.
Do you have any guess? Rico's a frequent flyer.
Oh, I bet you Rico's done it, yeah.
He's had more chances, that's all I'm saying.
That's a good point.
John, because he can fly a little bit more classy than we, you know.
Oh, first class amenities? John.
Well, I don't know, I mean.
Well, he always upgrades his seat.
Yeah, I listen, I'm not.
You haven't?
I don't know.
Were you hoping people would guess you?
That's why I asked.
So you're also the person to have the biggest cult following. Is that what you wanted us to say earlier?
No, I didn't want that one, but I really wanted this one just for one person to believe that I was a member of the Mile High Club. An honor.
Ohio State is banning one of its biggest haters from the shoe. You might have heard this. Dave Portnoy, who is going to be on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff this season, has been banned. No longer allowed to enter Ohio Stadium for Saturday's season opener against Texas. So he can still appear on the show, right? He can do all of the stuff he does. Yeah. But as soon as his coworkers go inside, when the atmosphere's kicking up, he's got to stay outside.
So what, he's going to be in the parking lot soloed out?
Exactly.
Like he's going to end up using this as fodder.
Of course.
It's just going to make him a martyr. And it makes Ohio State look soft. Just put him in the building. He's going to be obnoxious. Just deal with it.
Did you see Connor Stallions posted, do you need a ticket?
Oh, God. He go away. Like, I'll give John this. He's been at the forefront of it. Why are we making this guy into a hero? You should be distancing yourself from Connor Stallions at every chance you get.
I kind of like that Ohio State did it. It just kind of adds to the rivalry. It's like almost like you can say whatever you want. We got a big game against Texas. You can say whatever the hell you want, but not in our building. I kind of dig it.
It's Heather with the news. One quick text. They want to know that the Mile High Club, it's a question signed John Jansen. Was she hot?
Was she?
You have to get that phone video, Rieger.
Wait, you guys got mad at me for asking who's a member of the Mile High, but you can ask if she was hot?
Oh, that's a John.
That's what John asks every story.
Oh, okay.
Mom murdered.
Was she
hot? I don't know. John, it's not important. It's 97.1.
Hey, Dr. B at Michigan Hair Restoration is celebrating 30 years of helping thousands of guys across Southeast Michigan regrow their hair and restore their confidence. And to celebrate, he's giving $1,000 off any hair transplant to mark the milestone. Now, Dr. B, you got to go meet him. He's a true pioneer, one of the first to use your own hair to stimulate new growth. What once seemed as like science fiction is now changing lives right here in Michigan. And he believes in it so much. Not only has he had the procedure himself, he's also performed it on his own son. So forget those outdated methods. No stitches, no staples, no embarrassing scars. Just real results with hair you can run your fingers through. He offers the most advanced treatments, including natural therapies that keep improving. And he guarantees all of them. So the sooner you go to see Dr. B, the more options you'll have. Book now at MichiganHairRestoration.com and mention 97.1 to unlock your exclusive $1,000 off before it's gone.
Dan Dickerson on the call. Do we have an update on that Ohio State story?
Yes. The AD at Ohio State, now Ross Bjork. I didn't know he was related. I wonder if he's related to the singer Bjork. Anyways, he said it is a Fox decision
to ban Portnoy from.
Yeah, and he said he went on to say that people who normally appear on the not on the main desk don't actually come into the stadium.
Oh.
That's how Fox does things. But he said flat out this was a Fox decision. Ohio State did not ban him.
Why would Fox decide this?
Yeah, Fox would want him in there, I would assume.
Yeah, and the Lions then poking the bear.
No, I think what he's saying is once they get more into game mode in the pregame,
they trim the desk.
Yeah, it's like.
But why is it being framed as a ban?
Well, somebody put bad information out there.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that does make sense, though, because it's Urban and it's the host and who is it? It's Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. So maybe.
Rob Stone.
Portnoy just doesn't make the cut to go inside the stadium.
Because he did a smaller desk, and they're kind of like field level, and he won't be one of the four or five guys.
That's not as fun.
No, I don't think Bush is there anymore either. I think it's Ingram.
Yes, I think Mark you're right Ingram. About that.
Yes. Yeah. I remember last year watching the pre a little bit for the big game and how they had it set up on the field, like towards one of the end zones, and it was just the main guys.
Can we all admit, though, the fact that, and they've been doing this for a couple years, but the fact that Texas-Ohio State is such a massive, fun, awesome first game, and it's at noon, it's such a joke. Like, come on.
Yeah, I hate that Fox has tried to like change what primetime means. Right, your whole life, primetime is the night game.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all day long, waiting around, the build-up, the anticipation.
Right.
Yeah, and the drinking,
waiting around.
The eating.
Why would he want to wait around?
It's called foreplay, Greg.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the buildup. That's the point. And it's the end of the day under the lights, the scene setter that is playing late night.
It's the entree.
And they've decided, no, primetime's at noon because we say so.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. I mean, listen, usually the 3:30 games were always fun. But you're right. The night game was always special. The 12 o'clock games were just the appetizers. And now you're putting the biggest game. It's a huge game, I get it. Like,
yes,
whatever team loses is going to recover, but...
The 12 o'clock games were nothing. They sucked. And now we have something to fill in a college football Saturday, noon to midnight.
Just growing up, noon felt like Northwestern Purdue.
Yeah, but in 91, Michigan hosted Florida State. That was a noon kickoff. It was colossal matchup. Like, it was great to get that game going.
Sure.
First thing. I hated waiting around for it. It's like, I like sprinkling in. I'm with Greg a little bit of everywhere.
All I know is I hope I have Fox. Everybody that has YouTube TV might not have Fox for that game.
Yeah, what's the latest? They've set this deadline of Wednesday.
Tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
What does that mean? They could agree on Thursday or Friday.
I mean, I guess. But yes, YouTube TV raised their prices. They're in a dispute with Fox. So tomorrow at 4 o'clock, if they don't come to a deal, then you on YouTube TV will not get any Fox. You won't get the Big Ten Network, so you can't watch Michigan State. You won't get Fox, so you can't watch Texas Ohio State. And YouTube says, don't worry, we'll give you a $10 credit. Like, I'm leaving. I'm done with them.
Yeah,
there's no way people will stick by.
Well, a lot of people have switched to YouTube, right? Because
then you got to switch the hell away. Can you imagine days before college football, you make this announcement?
But doesn't this always happen? This always happens right before like a big season or a kickoff or a big game. There's one of the cable companies is in dispute with one of the providers, and it's going to go to the last minute, and they're going to use us as hostages in the negotiation.
Yeah, I'm just sick of it. I used to be one of those guys, like when Michigan would play on Peacock, and I would say like, hey, it's $5. Who cares? I'll watch it. I'll buy it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Now it's a freaking slippery slope and you need 17 different apps. And now YouTube TV, days before college football, is saying you might not have Fox. Like, F you, man. That's unforgivable. It really is. All the people that have YouTube TV that spend more money and now they might have to switch TV providers to watch college football and pro football. That's such crap. What are you doing back there? What are the horns?
Two words. Digital antenna.
No.
Get your locals.
No, that's more work.
An air feed is awesome. I love an air feed.
I pay to be able to turn on my TV. I don't want to have an antenna.
The antenna just gets you Fox.
Right.
2, 4, and 7.
What about Big Ten Network?
It doesn't get you Big Ten Network.
You don't want to watch Michigan State Western?
Classic blue wall radio.
Wow.
Typical Greg. Yeah, Michigan's on NBC, so you're fine there.
To your point, though, you want your options. You want your full package.
Yes.
You want to be able to watch everything.
Yes. I don't want to have to watch my Tigers on the Bally's app or the FanDuel app and then watch everything else on YouTube TV. Like, can't we get something where we just all watch it together?
That's good. In some cases, yes.
Does he?
He's got all the upgraded stuff.
He's got the biggest package you know. Wow.
You want to watch all your stuff.
I do.
And you know what? It sucks because now it feels like they've made it so that cable's actually the right way to go.
Which is more expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if it is in some ways.
Do you think they're doing it just to screw with people? Just because it's fun?
No, they want to make money. That's all it is.
I mean, I guess. But it's
extortion on the eve of the season to do this stuff.
It's so obnoxious. It really makes you just want to quit, but you can't quit.
They got us. They got us right. What else do you need to watch live besides sports?
That's it.
Everything else you can watch later.
Right. Like, and I don't even need anything else. Like, I will get a Netflix or a Prime or a Paramount or a Peacock when I want it for a show. Then I'll cancel it. You can't do that with sports.
No. That's right where they want us.
What do you have?
Hulu.
Oh, maybe I should switch. Take that, YouTube.
Until they decide at the start of next season that we can't watch sports.
Do you get the Tigers on Hulu?
No, I have to use, I get the FanDuel app. So it's an additional, what, $20 a month?
Yeah.
On top of the Hulu. And the Hulu is live TV too. Now with Hulu, at least I get some of the ESPN and Disney stuff, but I don't have kids, so the Disney stuff's not that big a deal. See, it's just you end up getting all this stuff anyway.
It's crap.
You're building cable in the aggregate is what you're doing.
Fubo.
You want HBO? You want to throw that in? You want Apple TV? All of a sudden, it's cable in the aggregate.
And but are how you actually we watch saving it money? Has changed. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And the ability to pick up the Heather method, which I think I really like, is pick up and drop
stations
as you please.
You
know, that's what the season is.
Right.
I mean, you say, well, when am I going to get a show and then I drop it? Well, that's the season.
Greg, you know what you also can't do?
What?
You can't use the last button anymore. Like on a Saturday when it's nothing but college football, you can't use last because you have to exit out of whatever damn app you're in. And then it's going to take a second. Then you got to go in the next app and you've missed five plays. It's preposterous. Sorry.
You're saying you just pick up as you go and you need stuff. So like when Christmas rolls around, you get Netflix.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And get rid of it then.
And when you're rid of after.
Yeah.
But you need it for Christmas.
Right. For the Lions.
For, of course.
Exactly.
For the Lions. Who wouldn't be watching the Lions on Christmas Day? Excited to watch the Lions on Christmas Day. You open your gifts and then you settle in.
It's the Vikings, right?
Yeah, it's the Vikings.
In Minnesota.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everybody's happy about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the Lions.
Are you working that day? I think you got to work. You're probably not.
Yeah, probably am going to work that day. Yeah. Rico and I, a couple hours before kickoff,
okay.
Breaking it all down.
I'm
Santa
a Jewish
hats
guy.
And...
I'll work.
Okay.
Oh, hey, no. My daughter's birthday is on Christmas.
When's Hanukkah this year? Is it the same time?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm Jewish. What?
Anyway, this is a long way to get to a Lions topic I wanted
to get
to.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. So the Lions. You may have heard, we're going to play some Dan Campbell audio for people, that he loves this team. He's going into his fifth year. He looks at the roster and he's excited, which is a stark contrast to a lot of the talk. The talk is the coordinators and the schedule and the offensive line and no help for Aiden and fans betting for this team to miss the playoffs, or the most bet team to miss the playoffs. So when Campbell speaks, it's like from a different universe. We want to know what you choose to believe. Here is Dan Campbell. So what do you make of it? Because I think that makes them one of the most polarizing teams in the NFL. You have people preying on their downfall, waiting for the step back, some going as far as to say they'll miss the playoffs, and this guy's going, we got a high floor. And who knows how high the ceiling could be? Very different messages.
It's crazy because it's all about what you as a fan choose to believe. Because I do think there's been so many negative talking points, whether it's schedule, whether it's coordinators, interior offensive line, Goff with pressure, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of feel that Lions fans aren't used to all the success, even though they've had success over the last couple of years. So a lot of Lions fans are choosing to believe the negative, which is the most bet on team to miss the playoffs.
And again, you're not getting paid a fortune to do it. You're not getting 10 to 1 odds or
165.
Or 5 extra money. It's plus 165. So people are doing it because they believe it.
Right, but it's the weirdest thing because people have forgotten how good this team is.
Oh, I'm with you. I think it's gone too far. I think the pessimism has gone to the extreme. I am concerned about the interior of the offensive line. I don't think they're going to win 15 games and have the one seed. I don't think they're the Super Bowl favorite. But how we've gotten so far in the other direction is bewildering to me. This team still has elite personnel on the field, offense and defense. They can't possibly be as injured as they were last year. If you want to point out the schedule's tough, I'll concede the point. But you got to give me that they have the biggest rest advantage in the sport. Days off more than their opponent. 13 of them for the course of the season. For a team that plays grueling physical football, that's a nice feather in your cap. For Ben Johnson leaving, okay, I still got Gibbs. I still got St. Brown. I still got Laporta. I've got J-Mo and this Tesla story. I've got the personnel. Defensively, Aaron Glenn made it work with all the injuries. They can't possibly have that many injuries. A full season out of Aiden Hutchinson. I choose to be much more positive about the season than the pessimism that feels like it's pouring in as we count down the days.
But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it is the defense. There's no way you're going to have your entire defense decimated like last season. And the defense should be able to keep you above water while the offense tries to figure it out. There's no doubt in my mind. Offense will take a step back. They probably won't be the number one scoring offense in the NFL.
Top five?
But what's that?
Top five, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
And if the defense picks up the slack?
Think about how good your secondary is. How good are your linebackers? And by the way, if Marcus Davenport actually stays healthy,
how good
can your defensive line be?
What do you guys choose to believe? End the show with that. It's 97.1. All right, Moran Chevrolet. Get ready for the football season with our friends at Moran Chevrolet, Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer. If you're thinking about going electric, skip the gas station altogether with the 2025 Equinox EV LT, and you can lease it right now at Moran Chevrolet for $209 a month. That's a 24-month lease, $999 down. You can find your ride fast, MoranExpress.com. Stop by. They're on Gratiot, just north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. It's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price. Period. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Final, Dan Dickerson on the call. Some ticket texts, including some people going at Dan Campbell.
About what?
How do you lose two Pro Bowl interior offensive linemen without replacing them with quality proven players? Not make upgrades across the rest of the roster and think you're better. I do not understand what Dan Campbell is saying. And another texter says, are you kidding? What do you think the coach is going to say? He's going to say we got a lousy team and it's the worst roster I've ever had? Are you guys morons? Here's the thing. Dan Campbell's a straight shooter. Nobody put a gun to his head and forced him to say it's the best roster he's had in 5 years. For him to say that is a choice, right?
I think he believes it, but I also think a little of him probably says it because he understands there's some negativity coming from the fan base.
You think he's blowing smoke?
Listen, the first text that you read, it's not the worst text ever because he is right. You knew Ragnow was retiring and you didn't replace him to the extent that maybe you would want to.
But and to me, it's not just Frank, it's Zeitler too. Like, I don't think enough people lump them together, but that's an issue.
I would agree. I'm telling you, man, like, there's so much positive. There's so much negative. Once we finally see the first game, it's going to be so interesting to see how people react. If they lose at Green Bay, it's going to be all out freak out. But if they win, like I think they can go in and win and beat Jordan Love like they normally do, then it's going to be whatever. We expect them to win again.
Well, you're Mr. Roller Coaster, so explain how this is going to go. They lose the first game.
Yeah, okay.
They win the second game.
Okay, so they lose Packers, beat Ben Johnson.
But then they lose to Baltimore.
Okay.
And then they beat Cleveland. They're 2-2, but they've only beaten bad teams. Are we going to do this like extremes the whole first month of the season?
The people that are freaking out thinking they're not going to make the postseason will freak out more. And the people that are like us, that sees more positive than negatives, will be like, dude,
hang on.
It's 2-2 in a tough schedule and everything's new.
Yeah, but then
you don't think
next...
this is going to look better in... Yeah, 2 months.
Then October is at Cincy, at Kansas City, and Tampa Bay Monday night. Like, okay, there's going to be a lot of like little three-game little referendums. First of all, I'm not conceding the Green Bay loss, but if they were 2-2, then you get to that three-game stretch, and people's emotions are going to hang by a thread in the month of October.
Yeah, but 3-3 is even fine after six games, considering the three games on the road are damn near impossible. At Kansas City, at Baltimore, and of course at Green Bay.
And then you start to paint the picture. I know the schedule's been out, but just so people understand. You get your bye week. All right. Minnesota's a home game.
Yeah.
Big game. Division. Take care of business. At Washington, at Philly, the Giants, Aleem McNeil coming back at some point in there. Green Bay Thanksgiving. And you really start to put the afterburners. You beat the Giants. You beat Green Bay at home. You get Dallas, LA, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Chicago. Like you rattle off six of the final seven. And you're right where you need to be. You're playing your best ball.
And
you should be winning the division in that case. So you get a home playoff game. You're playing your best ball. You're healthy. The O-line's got to look better at the end of the year if Hank Fraley's the guy we think he is. So what? I'm going to freak out because they're 3-3 at the start?
I mean, all you got to do is get in. We've talked about it already. Like, the one seed doesn't matter. You want it, of course. Home field doesn't matter. You want it, of course. Winning the division doesn't matter. Just get in. And you're going to be a much better team by the time you get to the postseason than you are week one at Lambeau.
Let's get to Corey in Birmingham. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Love the show.
Hey, Corey.
Real quick. Yep, you're welcome. Yeah, Dan Campbell's he's no idiot. He knows what to say. He knows how to play the market. He knows what he's doing. He has to say that. He's not going to say that the team is bad. The overall thing, guys, is it's going to be hard. It's just going to be hard. That's just the law of averages. They're not going to go 15-2.
Nobody's saying
they will make the play. Yeah, right. They'll make the playoffs, but it's going to be a hard road to get back. I understand the window's closed because the NFC Championship and all that.
No, it's not.
You know, the Buffalo.
Don't say that, Corey.
No, I'm not. I agree.
Oh, you know the narrative. I get you. Yeah.
It's not at all. It's just going to be harder. That's all. And they play a lot of teams on the road with good quarterbacks.
I guess
it's going to be difficult. But
Corey, the only thing I'd push back is like the idea that Campbell has to say that, because I think maybe to a fault, he's been brutally honest. When they lost the NFC title game, he came out and said that might be our only shot. Right.
So far, it was.
Right, but when he comes out and says it's the best roster I've had in 5 years, I don't think he's doing that to, like, quote, play the media. I think he legitimately believes that. And he might be wrong, but I don't think he's doing it to, like, spin zone the fan base.
But it's even funny. The last caller was, it's going to be hard. Tad negative. But even he admitted they're going to make the postseason.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Just make the postseason. Nobody cares the kind of season you have. Just get in, and you'll have a good chance.